Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
Tom, do you know how to make a rewinding sound? We are now back to our usual programming.
Hey!
The rewatching has finished. I had a lot of fun with that.
I think we should do that again.
Yeah,
I think it was so well received. People enjoyed that.
It really was. And I enjoyed going through all the things that I watch all the time.
And I enjoyed going to the Gold Coast.
You certainly did. And I need some more information about that. So you were gone for about a week. Were you there for the whole week?
Yeah, we went up for a week. And it was nice to not be at home. First time out of the house, really, since baby arrived. And it did Movie World, Dream World, and Sea World. Got a little bit of roller coaster action in, but also went on a lot of carousels and kiddie stuff.
But that's fun, right?
Hell fun.
So how old is she now? 7 months?
8 months.
8 months.
Yeah.
How did she go just with like people and like was it a sensory overload?
There were little bits where it was a bit much, but she did real well. And awesome. Yeah, carousels, sitting on a horse. She thought it was just the bee's knees. Yeah. She loves a snow cone. Or I'll say shaved ice.
Yes, okay.
Just spoon a bit of ice in.
Yeah. Well, who doesn't, to be honest with you?
I know, a bit of pineapple juice on top. Yum,
was it
yum.
Nice and warm up there?
It was quite warm. It's fresh to come back to here.
Yeah, I think as soon as you left, it kind of went a bit cold here. So.
Yeah, but there was a crazy gastro bug going around up there that we all got.
Hopefully it didn't like knock you out for too long.
Lynn's was out for a day, then I had it the next day, and then Shay had it 2 days later. So there's a little bit of quiet downtime, but I got to do a bit of watching.
Yeah, cool.
So,
all right. Well, I did some watching as well, and there's a fair bit of news. Should we crack into all of this stuff?
Can we please?
Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. The town has been going mad with the on-hold music coming out of every single speaker in the area for over 3 days now. Authorities are struggling to figure out why it's happening and how to stop it. It's causing dogs to howl, cats to run up and down trees at an impressive pace, and birds to migrate south early. People have tried drowning out the music with those noise-cancelling headphones, only to realise that they're speakers too. The local hacker group have denied any involvement and believe it's the evil workings of their arch rivals, the Listenville Dark Web bad guys. They are working with the police to find some sort of computer backdoor thingo and counter-hack or something. Basically, they will try to turn off the music so everybody can finally get some peace and quiet. Little House on the Prairie watching parties are the thing at the moment. They're so popular that our open-air cinema has started screening episodes back-to-back 24 hours a day, and almost all sessions are sold out. There is a handful of tickets for 3:45 a.m. if you're keen/desperate. There's been tens of thousands of entries for the Who Wants to Enter This competition, and it's overwhelming the organisers. They thought it would, quote, be hilarious. But with its popularity, they have found themselves way over their heads in admin and are scrambling to come up with a prize. They've sworn to themselves to never, ever do this again. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville.
Did we say what episode this is?
Oh, this is episode 177.
Yeah. It's important for the people that are keeping score at home, of which I know two.
Really?
Yep. Two people interested in the numerical value of our series order.
Well, if you really want to get technical, I think this is probably about episode 197 or something
like that,
including the specials and whatnot. Yeah. So good on us.
Yay.
Okay. Firstly, I want to talk about a news story that I saw and I immediately thought about Shay because it's about Fuller House.
Ooh.
Now, John Stamos was talking about the Olsen twins and their absence from the reboot.
Sure.
He was asked by Andy Cohen. You know Andy Cohen's Watch What Happens Live?
Yeah.
He sort of asked, you know, so what happened and was it a super letdown? And he said, yeah, but we understood because – it had been years since they had actually done any acting. In fact,
because they're just makeup empresarios now, aren't they?
Yeah, they just make. I think the word is entrepreneur. Yeah. Entrepreneur. Ashley actually told the producers. She said, "I've not actually been in front of a camera since I was 17, and I don't feel comfortable acting anymore. And Mary Kate said that she would have been fine, but she didn't want to do it without her sister. So they just went, no. Nah.
Why didn't they just get Elizabeth to do two roles?
She might have been a bit busy.
She could have been.
But one cameo where Elizabeth is Michelle Tanner would have been amazing.
Mm.
But maybe Disney had a lockdown. I don't know. Because at the time when the first series came out, it was sort of, I remember everybody going, oh, where's Michelle? Is she going to?
And there were jokes peppered throughout all the seasons.
You wondered if she was going to suddenly be shadow dropped into there, but it never eventuated. So that's why.
Well, Stamos is busy with his new show, Big Shot.
I'm interested to give it a watch.
Shay is quite excited for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it looks
exactly like the Mighty Ducks.
Yes, it does, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why I want to watch it.
Yeah, I'm down. So a bit of bummer news. Arclight Cinemas in the States, they've announced they are closing for good. Things looked like they were going to weather the storm, but that's not the case. The one that hit particularly hard for me is that Hollywood's Cinerama Dome is closing.
Yeah. I saw a lot of people tweeting about that.
So that was one of the best cinema complexes I've ever been to.
I've never been. I just thought it was beloved for beloved reasons. Do you know how some places just get beloved status?
Yeah. So imagine like when you go to – we'll bring up Blockbuster, and they had the staff picks section, and it was all about showing off your knowledge and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that on steroids as a cinema complex, and that's what this place was.
Cool.
Everyone on their name badge had their favorite film, and it's where all of Hollywood went to watch their movies and stuff. So I only saw two films there. One, I saw Moon by Duncan Jones. The one with Sam Rockwell in space, he's on the moon.
Yes.
Not giving anything away. There were only four people in the cinema at the time. One of them was Mickey Rourke and his cockatoo.
Are you serious?
Yep. He sat two rows in front of me eating hot dogs.
How did I not know this story? This is amazing.
Yeah.
Wait, did the cockatoo eat the hot dogs?
No, the cockatoo just sat in his shot. I think he had popcorn for the cockatoo or something like that. But
some sort of snack.
It just sat there quietly enjoying the film with him.
There's very little amount of the population that would be permitted to walk into a movie cinema with a parrot on your shoulder. And I think Mickey Rourke is...
He fits that.
Yeah.
So you were encouraged to let your freak flag there.
Cool.
Fly there. The other one I saw was I went to the very first screening of Dark Knight anywhere in the world for the public. And that was in the dome, projected on the roof. You lay back, the seats lay back. It was like gold class sitting. And it was
cool.
a curved screen on the roof.
That would have had more than you and Mickey Rourke, right?
Oh, that was packed out.
Yeah.
And that was quite an experience.
I bet.
Yeah. So it's a real bummer that one's gone because they, they were a chain of cinemas, but they weren't about being like an event cinema type thing of just it's one experience everywhere you go.
Yep,
this was about celebrating film and this sort of stuff. And they had, you know, all these people are telling stories and stuff like that. So apparently James Spader would, if you were making his hot dog, he had a minute and a half spiel of how his mustard must be poured and all this sort of stuff.
I just give him the bottle.
The grandmother from Everyone Loves Raymond, I've forgotten her name.
Felicia or something?
I think something like that. Apparently she went every day.
Really?
To see films every day, this sort of stuff. Yeah.
Wow. She was also Ellen Griswold's mother in Christmas Vacation.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's a real bummer that one's going because that was a quite an experience and a treat.
Do you think because of that there's going to be someone who's going to pick it up and sort of...
There's already lots of whispers around of people that will step in. Quentin Tarantino is apparently trying to get a whole coalition of filmmakers to buy that location.
Yeah, the one place, yeah.
I imagine as well that that particular cinema might even be heritage listed because it's I think it's something like the only concrete geodesic dome in the world. Geodesic domes are generally steel structures with glass in between.
Mm-hmm.
So a good example is Epcot Center at Disney World. You've got that strange, it looks like a sphere, but when you get up close, it's actually all hexagons or triangles and, you know, different shapes forming that together. That's what this was as an external structure and then a screen on the inside of that.
Wow.
Yep.
So it would be cool watching a movie in that.
It was
quite
an experience.
Very, very once in a lifetime kind of thing. Mm. Unless, of course, you're Phyllis or Felicia or whatever. I feel like it's Phyllis.
Answering Ryder's Pup Patrol distress calls like a pro. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Did you see Amazon has cancelled a Lord of the Rings? It's not the series. That's still getting made. But
$500 million for the first season.
Unbelievable amount of money, right?
Congratulations, New Zealand.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking about this in terms of because maybe a week ago, it was Game of Thrones 10-year anniversary for when the first season came out. And I thought by the end of that, they were throwing a lot of money at episodes and seasons, but nowhere near that. So can you imagine what this show is going to look like?
I imagine a lot of it's going to be front loaded. You know, they're building sets, costumes. Yep. They've got to make a giant money pile for a dragon.
Yeah, that's true. Of real money, actual New Zealand coins. The mint's been going crazy over there.
But surely that's like how much Bezos makes in a few days. Right,
exactly. Well, not their gaming studio though. They were going to make a multiplayer
MMORPG.
Yeah, and a free. It was a free to play, which means microtransactions. Mm. I'm sure, but they've cancelled it. But not. It was a convoluted reason. It wasn't sort of like Amazon going, "Nah, we're just." We're not going to do it. So they were working with a Hong Kong-based games company called Liu Technologies, but then a Chinese media entertainment conglomerate bought Liu December last year, and then Amazon and this new conglomerate couldn't get the contract right. Nah. So it all just got ditched.
Sure.
So that's why it wasn't necessarily Amazon saying, we just can't be bothered.
So it's kind of like when LucasArts had to cancel a lot of the games after they got bought by Disney.
Exactly. Sure. Yeah, that's it. So, I assume that Amazon has the gaming rights to Lord of the Rings. If they're throwing so much money at the series, surely they've got some sort of gaming rights from the Tolkien family trust. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure about that either because they paid a whole lot of money, but only for film and television rights. So maybe that's where the issue is.
Maybe that is it. So I don't know. I mean, it sounds like this game is dead in the water, but somebody somewhere could make one.
All I know is that we also saw a trailer for a Gollum game. Did you see this?
No, tell me about it.
Oh, I'm so psyched for this.
Really?
It looks kind of like an old school Spider-Man game mixed with an Assassin's Creed and Splinter Cell.
Yes, thanks.
So this is Gollum being sneaky and you are lurking in the shadows and stuff, but at the same time there was one point where he climbs up the back of a troll and starts furiously stabbing it in the neck.
Ooh, if you like stealth games, this sounds perfect. Yeah. I don't know how I completely missed that, but if I could jump on the tail end of this story, do you remember a couple of weeks ago when we had Tim on?
Yes.
We were talking about how the PlayStation store for PS3, Vita and PSP were ending this summer. Well, America's summer, like in July sometime. Jim Ryan actually posted something on the PlayStation blog. He's the president and CEO of Sony Interactive Entertainment. He said, upon further reflection, it's clear that we made the wrong decision here. So they will be keeping the PlayStation store operational for PS3 and PS Vita, but PSP is going. Sure. But that's the older one.
That's very old.
I thought this was interesting because that's Sony listening to fans and going back on a decision, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then all of last week while you were away on the Gold Coast, the news about how Bend Studio, who is owned by Sony, they made The Days Gone, that open world on the motorbike zombie apocalypse game. They pitched a sequel to the game, and I must say it needs a sequel because it ended on a cliffhanger if you saw the correct ending. But they got knocked back. The sequel was knocked back. And then they were going to either help or take part in remaking either an Uncharted game or The Last of Us. It was really super weird. But fans were not happy about Days Gone not getting a sequel. And I'm wondering because this whole PlayStation store news was so huge and fans were not happy if Sony also may end up going, people really want this Days Gone game.
Well, he's also come out and said that if people love a game, they should buy it at full price, which I completely agree with. If you're very excited about something, I go out and buy it the first day. I want to support the company and things like that. But isn't there Days Gone Rust coming? Is that an expansion?
I'm not sure.
I saw something about this Days Gone
Rust.
It'd be
nice to have a nice little DLC in there. But the problem is a couple of the studio heads, sometime either late last year or early this year left Ben's studio. So I'm not quite sure what's going to happen if they do end up making a sequel.
Well, Sony's gone a little bit risk averse over the last few years.
Haven't they?
And all their games are too big to fail games, like the ones they know they're going to work.
Horizon Zero Dawn, God of War. What did I say? Last of Us.
There will be another Spider-Man.
Of course there will be.
Know they can keep
going. Ghost of Tsushima.
But it means that they get these huge spikes when something big comes and then there's a lull of waiting for the big first-party games and stuff like that. So
we'll see.
Plug those holes.
With Better Moves and David Brent, you're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Man, so much Marvel news, hey?
I saw some of it and I was like, you know what? I'm not even going to investigate that far into it because I know that you will.
I'm
going to
jump through a few things quite quickly. So I think we mentioned this nearly 8 months ago or something like that about Alfred Molina reportedly being involved in Spider-Man 3 No Way Home. He seems very, very brave and not worried about the Marvel sniper that's going to take him out because he's just gone and confirmed to all sorts of people that, yes, he is appearing in Spider-Man 3.
Yeah.
As he himself said, you know, during filming, they told us we can't talk about this sort of stuff, but I've since discovered that this is the worst kept secret on the internet and everyone knows. So why not?
Yep.
Talking about it very openly. He was concerned that he's now 67.
Is he really?
Yep. And they're like, did you not see what we did with Robert Downey Jr. and Samuel Jackson? We can just de-age you. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
And reportedly his character, so spoilers for a film that came out in 2004, but his character drowns himself and the nuclear reactor that he made in I believe it's the Hudson River at the end of the film to save the day.
Tom Cruise was the pilot. He tried to, not Tom Cruise, Tom Hanks was the pilot. He tried to help, but there were geese.
Apparently his character will be plucked from that exact moment.
Oh, it's almost Back to the Future kind of stuff there, you know, where the storyline picks up straight after.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep. So stay tuned for that. Secret Invasion is a Marvel TV series that I believe is due to come late next year, late 2022. And we already know that Samuel Jackson and Ben Mendelsohn are involved in that. And
he's got to be the bad guy.
Who's that?
Just always think about Ben Mendelsohn.
No.
I know he's going to play who he was. I can't remember the character's name. His name is Captain Marvel.
And that was the trick is that everyone was expecting him to be the bad guy. Yeah. And in fact, he was a good guy. And so he has been impersonating Nick Fury on Earth. The Nick Fury that we saw helping Peter Parker in Spider-Man 2 was in fact Ben Mendelsohn.
Good on you, Ben.
Yep, all this sort of stuff. So there's talks this morning that Olivia Colman is joining the cast.
You mean Academy Award winning?
Correct.
AKA Queen Elizabeth II.
Yes, and Sophie from Peep Show.
Yes.
She was in Hot Fuzz as the detective who was very forward.
Green Wing.
Ugh, everywhere. She's awesome. Now, they haven't said who she'd be playing. If I was to hazard a guess, which
I like this. This is what it's all about. Yeah.
So Secret Invasion, it was a brilliant comic book storyline that the actual event some people don't love, I myself personally do love, but there was a build up to it for years in advance. And essentially it was the idea that Skrulls, who are shape-changing aliens, slowly infiltrated the Avengers and basically all the superhero teams across the Marvel Universe and took the least either powerful or the least connected hero from each team, threw them into space in a jail and infiltrated, undercover. And this is discovered when Elektra from, Daredevil, she's killed and her body just turns green and like turns into an alien. And everyone's like,
that's not normal.
What? There was no build up to this in the comic. It just happened. And Secret Invasion event didn't happen for another 18 months after that.
Ooh.
But slowly and surely, more and more characters were revealed to not be who they were.
Far out.
Now, we haven't had Spider-Woman in any of the comics and stuff like that. So Spider-Woman was one of the highest profile ones that was taken. And she was taken by the Queen of the Skrulls, Queen Varunke. And that is who I suspect that Olivia Colman will play.
This will be the third queen that I can think of that she plays.
And that's why it's so appropriate.
Yeah.
Obviously, without having Spider-Woman, it won't be that role. I'm sure there'll be another person that she could sub in there and stuff. But she's very regal and she's doing this for the betterment of her people. This is not an evil plot. You know, we're taking over Earth. It's literally her race, their planet exploded, and they're being hunted across the universe.
Right, they're hiding.
Yes. I'm so here for it if that's who she's playing. It could be a complete swerve and she's not that at all, but it would
fit. It makes sense. That sounds like something she would be. That's cool.
It was very cool.
Other Marvel news?
Look, the trailer for Shang-Chi dropped this morning. Oh, I say trailer, a teaser trailer at best.
Yep.
Very, very brief.
It was still a couple. It was
about a minute.
I was going to say a couple and I went, I don't think it was that long.
we saw some very cool shots of a character named, I want to say Wenmu, who is a new creation for this film, but not really. He is the new version of the Mandarin, who, very, very convoluted story. Shang-Chi is basically Bruce Lee. And okay. In the 70s, Marvel wanted in on that martial arts craze. And so they created the Shang-Chi, who has he's essentially the greatest fighter in the Marvel universe who hates fighting. He does not – he's seeking spiritual enlightenment. And so he's all about balance and all that shit.
Bit Jedi-ish.
Very Jedi-ish. So a lot of the stuff to do with him was of the 70s and of its time.
Yeah, right.
And his father was Fu Manchu, who's not a appropriate stereotype to bring up these days and this sort of stuff. So they're taking those elements and they're instead putting it on this new character. His father is the master of the one of the largest crime syndicates across the world. And there is a suggestion there with the title of Legend of the Ten Rings that he possesses these ten rings. Each ring, think of the Infinity Stones.
Yep.
Each ring gives you a different element or power to control. So there's time, all blah, blah, blah.
Gollum's gonna be going crazy watching this.
Oh, yeah. So, and it looks very much like this teaser trailer that there's going to be hints of Darth Vader coming to Luke of, join me. You're not my father, and fighting back against the system. I didn't see one white person in that trailer.
No, I don't think so. I enjoyed Awkwafina's bus driving take. Like, it reminded me of Speed. It was like, that's Sandra Bullock.
So I think we're going to get Black Panther for the Asian community.
Awesome, right?
I'm so here. And
it looked great.
It looked great. Fun I only got to movie. See it very briefly this morning before we started, but I'm going to go back through because there's going to be shots of Sydney.
Yes.
In there, for sure.
It almost gave me that Matrix feel, you know, when you were watching The Matrix for the first time.
George
you're like,
Street.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I remember that bit.
I remember getting excited station. Watching the Superman Returns with Brandon Routh, where it's like, oh, there's Planet Hollywood.
Things like that. Hollywood.
Yep.
Are there any of those left in the world?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
No.
Where are Hard Rock cafes?
There are still Hard Rocks. Okay. Plenty of those around.
Cool.
For you. And I think the other Marvel stuff we might keep to behind the spoiler warning when we talk about Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah, there's a bit in there. Well, look, my last news story I saw this morning and I thought I can't not let this just be swept under the rug because NBC is going to make a Guess Who game.
Who?
Show, I mean, based on the board game. The producers for Lego Masters are developing it.
So is this Brad Pitt involved?
I'm not sure. I didn't see his name in it, but maybe.
Maybe.
And each episode, I'll read the little blurb. Contestants make snap judgments based on intuition and clues in an effort to win cash prizes. In the original Guess Who, of course, you're trying to figure out who the other person's.
Does he have a beard? Person.
Yeah, exactly. And they say yes or no, that kind of thing. So it's all that element in there. Cool little statistic. Game came out in 1979 and each year globally sells approximately 2 million copies of it.
So that's 42 years. So there's approximately 82 million copies of it floating or something.
Have you got a copy in your house?
I did that maths wrong. Hang on a second. 42. No, 84. Okay. We might. I think, I don't know.
I think everybody does.
Probably.
Yeah.
I did when I was younger.
We got so good at it that we had to only pick a certain amount of, there were only a handful of people that you could pick so that it would be less difficult. Sure. Like no one with glasses or a hat.
Oh, yeah.
You can't. It's too easy. Blue eyes, no. No, too easy. So yeah, I'm kind of, when I first read that, I thought, I don't know what this is like. And then I saw Lego Masters attached to it. I went, okay, if it's got the same quality and vibe as that, I think this would be a fun show to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you aren't getting your watches fixed just by listening, follow the watches on Twitter and Instagram.
Very quickly, John Wick 4 has started filming.
Cool.
That's all I've got.
That's awesome.
Don't need any more than that.
Yeah.
I'm down for that. And similarly, I don't have a lot of news in this, but people were very excited here in Sydney yesterday because George Miller has announced that he will be filming Mad Max Furiosa, or actually just Furiosa.
It's the prequel, right?
It is the prequel. Anna Taylor-Joy will be playing Furiosa. Chris Hemsworth will be involved.
Because he has not confirmed. Chris Hemsworth.
He's not confirmed who he's playing, but he has said that he may hit up Mel Gibson for a little bit of advice. So that seems okay. Pretty clear. All however, right. in Fury Road, that was their meeting for the first time. So who knows? George Miller has said that this is not going to be like Fury Road. It's not, whereas that was set across 3 days, this is going to be set across many years.
Cool.
So I imagine we're going to see her arm getting ripped off at some point.
Something to look forward to, obviously. Oh,
can't wait. And we saw plenty of photos yesterday of Chris Hemsworth sitting with a very awkward-looking Gladys.
Berejiklian.
There you go. You're a proper radio person. You have to learn how to say that name.
Yeah.
After years, I still can't say it. There's just too many consonants in
a
row.
I can't spell it, but I can say it.
Basically, the Premier of New South Wales used it as a very awkward photo opportunity of like, hey, look at us hanging out here in this golf cart together. And Hemsworth being like, I'm here with this Make-A-Wish kid.
But it's got a pretty big budget and they'll be hiring a lot of locals.
Yes, they say it's the highest local production film that we've ever made in New South Wales. They were also slinging several barbs at Queensland over, you can't compete with our tax breaks. Well, they're not going to try and compete with our tax breaks because they've got their own freaking studio up there.
Yeah, they're
still
gonna be
building.
Pretty busy. Yeah.
We're still building up to it. They're good. Don't sling shit at Queensland.
Let's just all be happy for each other.
Yes. And very quickly, have you got any other news?
No, I'm
okay,
done.
I've got three trailers for you. We'll go through them quick. One, we've talked about before, but Zack Snyder's Army of the Dead is coming to Netflix May, I want to say 21st, somewhere around there.
It's closer than you think.
It's very close. This film I've been hearing about for more than a decade, and it's hilarious because the stuff that originally got floated around, like apparently if you've not seen this before, this is the story of Dave Bautista putting together a team of mercenaries to go into Vegas. At some point a few years earlier, Vegas was taken over by a zombie virus. They put up walls, entrapped the city. Bautista and people fought their way out. A casino owner has come to him and said, look, I've been told that the government is about to nuke the city and napalm it and finally wipe everything out. I've got $200 million sitting in a vault in my casino. Can you break in?
Can I have it again? Yeah.
Whether that's why he's really sending them in, I don't know. There's all these sorts of rumors of maybe his daughter is trapped in a penthouse. So there may be some other swervy element still not revealed yet.
That's cool.
But the trailer looks very gritty and hardcore, and there are fast zombies, but there's two types of zombies. So there's your regular fast zombies, and then those ones referred to as alphas, which are apparently more like wolves. They communicate, they work together, they look awful. So
yeah, at first I thought as I was watching the trailer, I thought, I've almost got a that zombie movie, the rom-com where what's his name?
Warm Bodies. Nicholas Holt.
Yeah, he slowly gets more intelligent again.
Yeah, well, look, it makes sense because there's been a progression through the Romero films. So in the very first Night of the Living Dead, no smartness there.
Yep.
Dawn of the Dead, the zombies start to imitate humans and congregate in the way we used to at shopping centers and stuff around commercialism. Day of the Dead, there is Bub the zombie who learns how to operate a gun and can follow very simple orders. Land of the Dead, Big Daddy is, he has intelligence and can lead the zombie horde and goes to attack. So there's just this constant progression. And then there were some smaller ones that he did before George A. Romero died, where they were retaining consciousness and some intelligence. Mm. So it's following down that path, and it looks like some of these alphas are leaders. We see one shot in the trailer of a woman who may have been a showgirl or something like that. She looks very Wonder Woman-ish. But yeah, originally this script, some of those zombies were like rapists, and they were trying to rape the humans so just they could procreate and have a next generation. Yeah, that's so. And when we first heard about that back then, it was like, what this is. But when you actually see it, it's like, all right. So it was an outlandish idea, but this is a film full of outlandish ideas, including a white Bengal tiger zombie. Yeah,
I saw that.
And it was such a cool shot of that tiger. Like, you're like, oh, that poor tiger. And then it turns out, oh, no, that ain't good.
That's not good. It reminded me a bit of the horses in Game of Thrones, the white walking horses.
Yes.
Yeah.
So very much looking forward to Army of the Dead. Another trailer that had me very excited was F9. You know I love my Fast and the Furious. I know you love
Fast and Furious. And this movie's been
delayed. Yeah. Man, I think Ludacris and Tyrese, I think they're going to space.
Really?
I think they're going to space. There's a shot of them in a car with wings on it, strapped to a rocket, and they're in like space suits. They've been leading to this for a while. So we don't even need to see, what if it's a Fast and the Furious movie. John Cena is playing Vin Diesel's long-lost brother who's evil. I'm there. But the director, Justin Lin, has come out and said, yes, this is the first part of a trilogy. Now, everyone has heard that they were ending with 10, which should be the next one, but he said 10 is going to be a two-parter in the style of an Avengers film.
Cheating.
I'm saying it now. Mm. If this one has space, the next one has time travel.
Dinosaurs then, potentially.
Oh, I don't mean going through different eras.
I was like Bill and Ted. I was thinking Bill and Ted, Excellent Adventure.
No, I'm thinking like Endgame, going back through the other Fast and the Furious movies. So we can get some answers about what happened to various people. We'll get some CGI Paul Walker in there somewhere. But oh boy.
What? I mean.
Vin Diesel's going to drive a DeLorean.
This movie franchise, I feel like they're jumping over all the sharks and the whole audience is on board with it.
Yep, bring it. I mean, in the Hobbs and Shaw one, they were superheroes. Idris Elba was a superhero in that. This does not fit anymore with the world of reality, whatever. But on the flip side of that and the world of reality, we are getting now, I've seen it advertised as Borat 2.5. The official title is Borat Supplemental Reportings Retrieved from Floor of Stable Containing Editing Machine. So it's stable. Deleted scenes, outtakes, bloopers, this sort of stuff.
Is this coming to Amazon Prime?
Yes.
Cool.
So similar in the way that the Jackass guys always had a Jackass 1.5, 2.5, 3.5. That was all the stuff that didn't go in the theatrical release. Mm. This looks to be like that. More time spent with both those characters is fantastic.
Mm.
But there's one shot in it where Sacha Baron Cohen drops character. Like he's still in outfit, but he dives into the back of what looks like an ambulance, slams the door, and in his British accent says, "Drive. If you don't drive now, we are in serious trouble here, people."
Oh, wow. I wonder what it was about.
Oh, they were being stormed by an angry mob.
I don't
know. There are people banging on the outside. So I think it might have been at one of the gun rallies or something like that where they didn't use the footage in the film.
Right, okay. Because the only thing I was thinking about was when he got up on stage and was singing. I thought maybe that, but it sounds like he's dressed as Borat.
Yes. So there are more. Well, he's as Borat, but he's dressed as a farmer in this particular scene.
Yeah, okay.
So I don't know where it fits in. But
I think
like,
that might be it.
That one moment had me go like, oh, I'm excited for this.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sure that a lot of people who enjoyed Borat 2 will jump on board just to grab that little bit extra.
Get those supplemental recordings.
From the floor of the stable, whatever it was called. Should we have some watching suggestions?
Yes, I think we should.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
I got a good quiz for you coming up later on.
Huzzah! I've not had a quiz in a bit. I'm feeling quizless.
Well, we will get the quiz fill and it will be wonderful. We've done a lot of watching of our weekly stuff.
Yes.
Which weekly – I feel like fear needs to kind of go towards the end because there's a bit of spoilery.
There is a lot of spoilery stuff in that.
Why don't we go with Falcon and the Winter Soldier?
Let's do it. Wowee. I love this show so much. This last episode, episode 5 for those keeping track at home, just floored me. And I was quiet for hours afterwards and I had to rewatch it again because it made me think. Systemic racism, PTSD, the abandonment of soldiers, Zemo off doing his thing where he's going to pop up next, and a fantastic, spoiler, fantastic new character added that is going to have some really big ramifications down the road.
Yeah, I read a bit about Julia Louis-Dreyfus' appearance as a character, and I read that she is a character from the comics.
Yes.
And that there is a potential of her being in the Black Widow movie.
Yes, yeah.
That hasn't been confirmed, but no. That's the potential. I love Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Is there anything that she's been in that you're like, oh, no good?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I was trying to think about it last night, and I think everything she's in is a solid thing, worthwhile watching, and she does a great job in it.
I think it's amazing that they finally got Elaine playing a European countess, because in real life, she is a European countess.
Very rich. Yeah. Well, her family's very rich.
Yeah. So she's playing to type here. It is going to be a wonderful flip of Selena Meyer from Veep, whereas she was Selena was playing everything for the crowd at every moment. She wanted to keep everyone happy so that she could gain more power.
And now she's sort of got the power.
This character is all about maintaining power while looking completely innocent.
Yep.
It's going to be interesting to see what elements of her storyline they do use and not. She has been a Nick Fury's on-off lover since the 60s. Mm. She has also been known as Madame Hydra, which should ring alarm bells for anybody. She's also been part of a Russian spy group called Leviathan.
I think with the whole general vibe of the last couple of shows that we've gotten, this and Wanda, I can see that being a thing.
Well, especially if she was first supposed to appear in Black Widow. Perhaps she was involved in the creation of Black Widow. But I think we might be seeing, and I know I've thrown this word Thunderbolts around before, but I think we might be seeing the first formation of the Thunderbolts / Dark Avengers, because she can go to John Walker and she's got her Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
Zemo, we know, is being thrown into the raft. You put him in an Iron Man-esque suit and then suddenly you've got an Iron Patriot. who else do we know is at the raft? Emil Blonsky, better known as Tim Roth from The Hulk, who became the Abomination, the bad Hulk. So there's all these characters. We know there's Cataract, the White Vision. He's floating around without morals at the moment.
That's right.
So there's plenty of things. Black Widow, I don't want to say too much, but there's two characters within that that I could see very much becoming a Black Widow surrogate for an evil team.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
So if the Thunderbolts are presented to the public, there's a storyline called Heroes Reborn, and the Avengers disappear. They no longer exist. They never existed.
Hmm.
And so the Thunderbolts step up as a new superhero team. And it was one of the best twists in comics ever that the final page revealed that these were actually all supervillains that had been given new costumes and were masquerading as heroes. And they do go on, a lot of them, to become quite heroic and change and, you know, grow in the better.
Hmm.
But their methods are very brutal.
It sounds exciting, and it also sounds like Julia Louis-Dreyfus is going to be very busy for the next few years.
Yes. So I think this could very well be she's the flip of Nick Fury, and we might see her popping up, connecting stuff, because you don't hire someone of her caliber for tiny cameos, throwaway roles.
It's not worth it.
No,
But also that scene really, I mean, from what I took from it, they were introducing this character because you need to know who she is
yes.
for a long time.
I also, I mentioned this to you before we began recording, but the fact that we're hearing about Olivia Colman for Secret Invasion shuts down one narrative thought for me of who she could have been playing, because I thought that perhaps she could have been playing a Skrull.
Right, Elaine
could be a shape-changing alien trying to infiltrate. I don't think that's the case anymore.
Is there any chance of us getting a Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Olivia Colman scene or scenes together? Is that a thing that could exist?
Hugely so, because in the Secret Invasion storyline, both of their characters are swapped out.
Awesome.
Yep.
Okay. Look, one other thing I'll take away from the show and the later episodes is something you said very early on, that this show is all about greys. The good guys are bad guys. The bad guys are good guys. Everybody's doing it for what they truly believe is the right reason.
Yep. And even, you know, there's that shot of Bucky and he wakes up and he sees the two kids playing with the shield and smiles. In his head, do you think he's thinking, Jan, someone just got murdered with that shield? You know, like in terms of greys, even kids playing with it, there's everything is coloured. I love the fact that they get to refer to their uncle as Uncle Sam.
Yeah, that was funny.
But it's very on the nose. Oh, you know, he is going to represent America whether America likes it or not. This show.
The real America and the America in the show as well.
Yes.
Whether they like it or not.
It's going to be interesting to see what the fallout from this final episode is. Some people are suspecting that we will not see John Walker anymore. I think those people are crazy. Wyatt Russell is absolutely killing this character. Like, I know he's getting death threats, and that's the sign of someone doing a real good job.
Yeah, and that, I mean, we've spoken about that before. It's gross and horrible and people are ridiculous for doing that. But on the flip side, you're also seeing people who are like, this guy is the real deal in terms of acting.
It's in terms of, he's absolutely crushing it. And like, as horrible as it is to say, that is who Captain America would be in the real world. It's real nice to have someone, you know, we had the Steve Rogers idealistic version from, if you go back and look in the 50s and or sorry, 40s and stuff, when he was operating originally, everyone was united fighting against the bad guy. Yeah. And there was no grays that we have in the world. And then he was put on ice and he didn't have to deal with Korea or Vietnam or Afghanistan or Iraq or all the things that eroded those ideals of, you know, military greatness of, you know, you did this for country and stuff. We're seeing the same thing in Australia at the moment with Redacted. I'm not going to say any names or anything, Redacted, because everyone's getting in trouble for mentioning anything about that situation. But that's the reality of war. And I'm sure it was the reality of war back then, but patriotism and propaganda covered that over and made things look nice. Whereas these days, what we're seeing here with John Walker is the truth. And PTSD is a very real thing. And putting the expectations of, like, it floored me when he was put in front of that Senate and he's just screaming at them, you made me. All I did was what you asked. I did not ask to be Captain America. You pushed this upon me. You created me and now you abandon me. And it's just like, oh, he's so good. He's so good that I've gone back and started watching Lodge 49, which I'm not going to talk about this week. I'm going to get a few more episodes under my belt before I dive into, but it's so fucking good.
Lodge 49, okay.
It's a show of his from a couple of years ago where he's kind of a surfer dude, a little bit aimless, and comes across a thing called Lodge 49, which may or may not be a modern version of Knights of the Round Table.
Oh.
Comedy drama.
Going to write that down.
It's great. He also came yesterday. Someone was like, so there's all this talk that they're going to do Escape from New York. They're going to do a reboot of that. Would you want to play Snake Nielsen? It's like, if I wanted to commit career suicide 101, why would I try and do what my dad did so well?
Can you play your dad the exact same way as your dad? Yeah.
He's like, maybe instead I could convince my dad to do Logan and we can have a really old Snake Plissken. Yes, please. I'm there for that. I'd also love it if they did another Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh, yeah, just that'd saying. Be cool. Yeah, that'd be really, really cool.
So, yeah, I've been on a Kurt Russell trip.
Well, you know, you could be on worse.
The only show brave enough to call Scar what he is. A murderer.
You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Let's swap it out with Mighty Ducks Game Changer.
Yeah.
Still loving it?
Still loving it.
How can you not, right?
I know. It's so breezy and cheery, and let's steal our mobile phones back from the two mums. And
I'm doing commando roles.
Oh, okay, so as a stay-at-home dad, that bit where it was the mum's slap shot competition, but the one dad shows up and overshares awfully, but like I really felt for that guy because yesterday I went to a play date in the park with all the mums from school and no one would talk to me.
Oh, that's awkward.
I had to wait till another dad showed up for someone to come and have a chat with me because I was just the, you know, oh, hey, have you got the day off? No, this is what I do.
That's it's a really thing awkward. That needs to be looked at.
So I did not expect to be to connect with a with a joke character on Mighty Ducks Game Changers so deeply, but boy oh boy, did that hammer home true for me.
Oh, I love Lauren Graham. Can I just say,
so charming, so charming, and Emilio's icy exterior is melting by the way.
Yes, Atavi, he took the sign down. He took the sign down. I'm going to be very sad when this season ends because I'm enjoying it. But we did briefly mention the fact that John Stamos' show is coming out, so that might be the
I am holding off starting that until I finish that I can just
I think that's a really super sensible way to watch these because you need these comfort shows.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's a weekly thing, just get that like 45 minute bit of get back into stuff like The Walking Dead, or should I say Fear the Walking Dead.
Mm.
There's no way to talk about this without spoiling, talking about spoilers.
Yeah. They killed the best character.
Way too soon, right?
Yeah. Apparently he wanted out for a while ago, which is hilarious because he's also in Army of the Dead.
Yeah, I know, right? It was so funny. On the day that that episode came out, I looked at his Twitter account and he was plugging the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a real shame that he's gone. And you can, with one episode without him now, wow, can you feel the gaping hole?
Yep.
He was so interesting. He was so different. He was so capable. He was so, not introverted, but he was quiet. A lot of what he did was on the inside.
And with Rick gone from the main show and him going to this, you've lost the moral counterpoint to the swinging pendulum that is the whims of Morgan.
Morgan is – the wind changes and so does his ideals.
Yeah. I'll be honest, I didn't particularly care for last night's episode where they were, you know, an hour of debating whether or not to kill a bad guy again.
But also I thought that killing her suddenly you're like, well, now who's the adversary?
Remember back in the first half of the season, there were those guys spray painting the submarines.
So long ago. And they didn't, the last two episodes, there's been absolutely no mention of them.
Maybe there'll be a breather for a week. Hooray. I can't wait to spend time with all the negative downer characters.
I tell you what, what I would have liked is for her to survive, escape, and then June go out and on hunting mission.
But I think everyone needed to see what June had done.
Yeah.
And then she gets to walk out of town with his hat on.
Wiping blood off her cheek.
Yeah. So be interesting to see where she ends up.
Yeah. Who's she going to find?
And Dwight and Sherry finally got back together and that was just
And then they were like, well, we're going, I'm not really with you. I'm going to go back with my mask friends. There's still rumors going around on the internet that Madison may still come back.
Yep.
So that is one theory that June will find Madison on her adventures. But we'll see how it goes. Has there been anything that you've watched that hasn't been those weekly shows?
I've had a couple of things. So very briefly we'll mention that Lego Masters Australia Season 3 kicked off last night. I think we'll talk more about that in the weeks to come, but some very interesting team dynamics and stuff, some team dynamics that we haven't really seen on the previous two seasons, which is cool. I saw very briefly in the stuff to come further in this season that our boy Trent makes an appearance.
Good, 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 good.
He pops up somewhere there. So I'm stoked for that. I fell down a rabbit hole on YouTube with a series that I've watched here in episodes here and there, but whilst having some fever dreams while sick last week with a gastro bug, I watched several hours of a series called Defunct Land, which is a documentary series that goes through on theme parks, theme park rides, and theme park experiences.
I feel like I've seen some of this.
Yes, that are no longer around.
Yeah.
And it
was good.
It's great. There's a really interesting one about Jaws the Ride. And I'm not going to go into too much of all of them, but I just want to talk about this one in particular. So Jaws the Ride was at Universal Studios Florida. Now, Universal Studios Hollywood has the studio tour where at one point they go through Amity Island or go past the bay of Amity Island.
Yep.
And the shark pops out when you're driving past the wharf. This over in Florida was an actual ride where you went in boats around Amity Island and was attacked by sharks several times throughout there. When it first opened, it had cost $30 million and they had to close it 2 months later because it went wrong so much. Every day it broke down. They ended up having to spend another $40 million on top of that to get it working. Oh, yeah. And then in 2012, they ripped all of that out to build Harry Potter Diagon Alley. But there was one, and I've read books about this ride. Like it is fabled, but there was one story I'd never heard of why they originally closed it. Now, most of the ride, like Jungle Cruise, is only 4 feet deep of water and the bottom is painted so it looks really deep. But where the mechanical sharks are, they are 10 feet deep or even deeper so that the pistons and everything underneath can be used to shoot the sharks up.
Without being seen.
Correct. A dad was going through with his kids and one of the sharks popped out on one side and the dad panicked so much he fell backwards out of the water into one of the deep sections. And his children turned around to see a shark being, like a mechanical shark being shot out of the water at their father. Now, he didn't die. He didn't get hurt, amazingly. He could have been crunched to death very, very easily. But instead, his young children had to watch a great white shark come at him in the water. And the crew member very quickly got him out of the water and he sued them successfully for like $1 million. This is $1 million in like late 80s money. So that's a lot of money. Wow. But like that's one of the most fucked up theme park things I've ever heard.
Gee whiz.
The trauma of that.
What a nightmare.
I know, so good. Anyway, Defunct Land. I really recommend this series. There's another great one about the Superstar Limo, which was at California Adventure when it first opened, and there were big dreams of having a thrill ride that you were being chased by paparazzi on a way to a movie premiere, and it was due to open
in 1997?
Yep.
That's no good time for that too.
Yeah, they had to quickly change those plans.
Jeez.
And all this sort of stuff. And the celebrities that they ended up being able to use were not of the caliber they should have been. They had animatronics of Drew Carey and Tim Allen. And
people who would never get chased by paparazzi.
That's right. But and that ride went terribly poorly and then it sat dormant for years. And then it got a complete refurb into Monsters, Inc., ride.
That seems like a better idea.
It does. And the Monsters, Inc. ride is great and Shay has loved it in the past. But the thing I didn't know was they reused those celebrity animatronics as different. You know, Monsters, Inc., when they've got a code 33 and it's the guys in the yellow suits that rush out. When you
Drew
see
Carey and Tim Allen. No.
Yep. There's a Jackie Chan. All of they are all inside the yellow suits.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's so cool.
I love that stuff.
Yeah, that's what I mean. This Defunct Land, if you enjoy theme park history stuff or just cool behind the scenes stories, the stuff that this guy has dug out is amazing.
That's really
cool. He's been going for about 6 years and
so he knows his stuff
he
as well.
Really, really
like
does.
Passionate and knows his stuff.
Yes.
I sat down and watched that Keanu movie from, can't even remember, early 2010, something like that, maybe 2012, 47 Ronins.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, because I've been playing a bit of Ghost of Tsushima, getting in that mood, and I saw that pop up and I went, that's something I will watch. Very stylish.
I have not seen it since it first came out. How did you enjoy
it? Yeah, I enjoyed it. I think it did hold up. I enjoyed the tail end of it. Those action scenes were pretty cool. And, you know, knowing that it's an old Japanese folk story, potentially real, is awesome.
Yep.
Samurais and everything.
Oh, Keanu's the best.
He really is. And the interesting thing about his role in that movie is, yes, it's Keanu Reeves. Yes, he's the big star, but he's not actually on screen that much.
No.
There's actually at least one other character who probably the bigger role, but he was happy to take that role, and I think it's worth watching. Yeah. Very good. Anything else you watched?
Look, I watched a wrestling documentary series, 5 episodes, called WWE Ruthless Aggression.
Ooh.
Now, I've spoken in the past about the Monday Night Wars, which was when you had WCW and WWF. And then they WCW went under to the point that the WWF was able to buy WCW. And this documentary series is about what happened next. And it's not something that the WWE, as it's now known, has often lifted the lid on, because it was a very rough period for them. And they lost a lot of viewers and things like this at the time. Mm. And what this documentary series was about, it was kind of what happens when you've been in competition with someone so long and then you subsume them and that fire goes out. You're not competing against, you don't have someone to beat each week.
Yeah.
So creatively, they were tripping up a lot and losing a lot of steam because of that. And then their talent, the guys working for them, suddenly had an extra 30 to 40 guys on there all competing for the same 2 hours of screen time each week. So what they ended up coming up with was creating a second show, SmackDown, which is still huge, and that's on Thursday nights. And they had a thing called the roster, which is they basically hired the guy that used to run WCW to come in and play the owner of the new show.
Right.
And then, like an NFL draft, they split the roster and, like, I'll take The Rock. Well, I'll take The Undertaker. And they carved everything out. And the Monday night show was the big spectacle, and it was the entertaining storylines, and it was either amazingly great or terribly shit. And then the Thursday night show is where they put the guys that were the legit wrestlers. So you had Kurt Angle, who was an Olympic gold medalist amateur wrestler. Brock Lesnar, who's like this, he ended up becoming world champion in MMA and UFC and all this other stuff. Absolute beast of a guy. And Latino wrestlers, some of the Mexican luchadors, all this sort of stuff. Really, really interesting story. And, you know, there were two episodes that were purely about, or one was about what happened when the creative fire went out. Another one was about the draft. But then there were three episodes, one about Brock Lesnar, and he was only in WWE at the time for 2 years, and he was world champion within his first year, which is unheard of.
Yeah.
Another episode about John Cena and the way how this idea of ruthless aggression was Vince McMahon said, if you want to be the top star, I need to see ruthless aggression. I'm going to hang the ring is there. If you want the ring, you've got to stand on top of everybody else to get it. And one episode was about how John Cena did that knowingly and like would stare other people in the eye and I'm here to knock you down.
It's got almost a touch of the Michael Jordans about that, but it was all Michael Jordan telling himself that.
It really felt that way. And the bit that was great with Cena, it was the first half of the episode was about how when he first came in, he was the professor of thugonomics and he was a prick to everyone. And then he was the one that saw the crowds changing because kids love Cena.
Hmm.
And he came to Vince McMahon one day and said, I can't swear anymore. I can't do this character anymore because look at the kids. He's like, I'm going to make my character more clean cut and safe for families and just trust me on this. Like, you've given me a lot of leeway so far. Please listen to me on this.
Mm.
And it was the most brilliant move because the old wrestling fans hate John Cena and still do.
Really?
Oh God, yes, because he's seen as the guy who watered down wrestling.
Oh, okay.
But on the flip side, he's the guy that made wrestling even bigger now because there's been 15, 20 years of kids growing up loving what he did.
Yeah, who are now adults,
So he sold more merch than anyone in history.
Oh, wow.
All this stuff because the kids would come and they want to buy his belt, they want his clothes, his shirt, all that support. Mm. And the fact that the older people hated him made it even better because that's what you want in a wrestling character, either loved or hated. And very rarely do you get someone who exists as both for two different audiences. So it was that kind of thing. And then the other episode was all about Evolution, which was a group of Triple H,
who is married to Stephanie McMahon, the daughter of the owner of the company.
Yeah.
Who at the time was one of the biggest stars. Ric Flair, who was massive in the 70s and 80s. He's known as the Nature Boy. He was a showman. At that time, he was dealing with crippling anxiety and depression and was old and had lost his fire.
Yeah.
And then so Triple H, who's also one of the heads of creatives, said, I want to take Ric Flair and put him next to me every week and that's going to make him look good. And then I want to find two guys that are going to be the future of our sport. And he found one guy named Randy Orton, who is the best physical specimen and the biggest prick that's ever been in wrestling. And the other one is a little guy you might know by the name of Dave Bautista, who was hired as the muscle for this team of four. And it was all about how behind the scenes, people hated these two guys, Bautista and Orton, for being brought in. And they're like, why are they getting this huge push? Right. And then within 6 months, everyone in the company going, oh, no.
We get it.
You were right.
Yeah.
This is the evolution of wrestling. We're watching this right now. You've got the biggest right now. You've got the biggest of the past. And these two guys are going to be huge.
Wow.
So, yeah, this show, what you're saying about Jordan is the perfect way to describe it, of everyone talking about is the kayfabe is off. They're not playing for cameras and stuff. Yeah. It is just seriously talking about backroom dealings, which WWE does not do.
Were there parts in that where you were rewatching it, kind of like what I imagine? I can't remember the name of the Jordan doco off the top of my head now, but I would imagine for people who followed along or big Chicago, or at least basketball fans back in the day, would have been watching and going, I totally forgot about that bit.
So much stuff. Yeah. So much stuff that at the time seemed inconsequential. And the big thing they talk about with wrestling all the time, and it's so true, is that yes, you're writing for whatever's happening that night, but in reality, what you're writing for is what you hope to happen in 18 months. So you're constantly building characters, storylines and things with the view to eventually pay off. Because what a lot of this show is about is, yes, they had Rock, Undertaker, Stone Cold, Steve Austin, all these huge stars, and then half of them fucked off to Hollywood.
Hmm.
And they were left with no big name who was the person that everyone was centered around. So it was, they haven't really let themselves fall into that trap again since. They're constantly – They invest so much money in training programs and finding new stars. And, you know, there's guys that they've had sitting on the bench for 6 years training that they're only just starting to hit the big green button on now, but it paid off that investment and stuff. Yeah.
Sounds like you enjoyed it.
It was great.
Yeah.
And they say there's a season two of that going to come later this year.
Cool.
And a lot more of that will deal with women's titles.
Oh, nice.
Hardcore matches. Yeah.
It sounds like there's still lots of room for stories and things to focus in on and whatnot. No, sounds good. Let's now get into quiz time. This one is called Who Made More at the Box Office?
Ooh.
The rule is Who Made More at the Box Office?
Oh, okay. Can you explain it further?
All right. Star Wars A New Hope or Return of the Jedi?
Return of the Jedi.
I would have thought that too, but apparently A New Hope made $77.5 million.
So, okay, I'm going to be nerdy here. Is this adjusting for inflation or re-releases?
Don't know. But I tried to pick movies that were not too far away from each other.
Okay, yeah, sure. Fair.
That
surprises me.
77.5 versus 475.1.
Actually, no, that doesn't. It's these days where the continued sequels may do better. But back in the day, that was not the case.
But at the same time, I would have thought if any sequels of a series would have, you know, gotten more, would have been the Star Wars. But apparently not.
I reckon Empire might have done more.
Yeah,
and
potentially.
Ends so bleakly, and so that there would have been parents going, well, I don't know if
we
I want
can't,
to take.
Even though there are
you
Ewoks,
were so
we
upset
can't.
At that last one. Do you want to go and see the next one?
Yeah, that's
all right,
fair.
Good.
Zoolander 2 or Dumb and Dumber 2 with 1-0.
So when we're saying, is that Dumb and Dumber 2 with 1-0, is that the one with Jeff Daniels and Jim Carrey?
I believe so, right?
Now
I need to check.
There's also the prequel one.
Yeah, it's got Jim and
okay.
Jeff.
Okay, I'm going to say Dumb and Dumber 2 made more.
Yes, by so much. Dumb and Dumber 2 from 2014 made $169.8 million.
Right.
Zoolander 2 from 2016, 56.7.
What is this, a box office for ants?
That's a huge difference.
It really is.
I actually haven't seen either of them.
I've seen both of them.
Do you see both?
Yeah.
Do you remember them?
No.
There we go. All right, let's get into another one. Much Ado About Nothing or Great Expectations?
I'll say Great Expectations.
Good choice.
Yeah?
There's not much between them. I also wonder if maybe the time, 1998, Great Expectations, Much Ado was 1993. Maybe that time difference is a bit too wide. But 55.5 million for Great Expectations and Much Ado made 43. Not a big difference. Hmm. I have seen both of them. I way prefer Much Ado.
I don't know if I've...
You haven't seen the other one? You haven't seen Much Ado? I thought you might have because Keanu. Okay.
Not that I can recall. Mm. I'm not big on the Shakespearean adaptations.
Fair. Hunger Games or Twilight, the first movie?
Or Twilight.
I would have thought that too, but Hunger Games made $694.4 million versus Twilight, $407.1.
There you go. Stephanie Meyer fans, where were
where
you?
Where were you? I suspect, though, if we look at the later movies, Twilight would have gone up. I think Twilight
sure, because by the end, the Hunger Games ones were diminishing quality.
Exactly, yeah, which is a shame because the actual book was good. But they had to break it into two. But maybe they did that with Twilight as well. I don't know. I only watched one. Thor Ragnarok or Guardians of the Galaxy?
Guardians 1?
Yes.
Versus Thor 3?
2014 versus 2017. So only 3 years between.
I'm going to say Guardians. No.
Thor made $854 million and Guardians made $772.
Okay, so there wasn't too much
between.
Pretty
close. For Marvel. Yeah. For Marvel.
Well, especially when you consider that Guardians, no one knew anything.
True.
The big hook in the trailer was when he says, I'm Star-Lord. Now they go, who? Whereas Thor 3, everyone's got a pretty good idea. And they threw in Hulk.
Yeah, true.
And Jeff Goldblum, his grandmaster.
Was that, I forget he was in that one. And I shouldn't. In my head, he was in Guardians. But he's not.
That's Benicio del Toro.
Oh, that's right.
They are brothers.
That's right. And the second one,
Guardians,
second Guardians
has Kurt Russell as
that's right,
Star
and
Lord's
he was
father.
DH. That's right. Yeah. In some scenes. Yeah. Alfred Hitchcock's Rear Window or his other movie you may have heard of, Psycho.
Rear Window.
I like that movie more.
Me too.
36.8 for that. Psycho made 50.
All right.
But there was...
Rear Window is a great film.
It's phenomenal, right?
Oh, yeah. Even I've watched so many remakes of that and they're all still enjoyable because that the framework is there.
I like that even though I remember exactly what happened, I still enjoy watching it.
It's intense and it's so relatable. Psycho, okay, sure.
But
Rear Window, the idea of someone watching you. Through and
watching it because there's nothing else for him to do.
I mean, that's very relatable at the moment.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah, exactly. He wakes up and he's still part of this potential murder.
Mm.
Yeah, very interesting. That was the quiz. Well done.
Thank you. That was a good quiz.
That was a fun one.
I think you stumped me on all of them?
Pretty much all of them, I think. I think, no, you got Great Expectations correct. You know, the movie you didn't watch.
Yeah, the one that I had a real punt on.
Yeah, that's right. On that note, Tom, thank you very much.
Rolling with the homies.